Hello everyone, I hope you're doing great today and I hope you enjoyed these stories. Make sure you check out my Patreon if you want early access to my stories and other benefits, and make sure you check out my podcasts in the description below. I hope everyone's doing great today and I have a message before the story starts, so for today I'd just like to share this. So if you're somebody who's dealing with anxiety of any kind, remember, it might be natural for you to feel a bit more tired than normal, because sometimes it can put you into a fight or flight type state and you're actually going to experience a lot of adrenaline and cortisol, and this can actually drain you quite a lot. So remember, it's okay if you feel tired afterwards and to be mindful of your thoughts, because this is when your mind might be more likely to attack you and make you feel down or depressed where your defenses are lower. So make sure you're always cautious of this, and of course make sure you receive therapy to get better, because you shouldn't have to live with anxiety and you can overcome it. So I hope that helps somebody and I hope you enjoy these stories. I'll speak to you all soon and take care. I love to go camping out in the wilderness. I had a friend of mine who really needed to get away from the city like I did, and he said that he knew a great spot. So one weekend we decided to go for a nice camping trip. The drive over there was really nice early in the morning, and when we got to the camping area, there's nobody else about. We decided to go a little ways further into the forest just to try and escape other people, and it works pretty successfully because we don't see anyone. Now the first part of the trip went like a charm, and we come up to the second day. Everything's great and we're settling in for the night, and I get into my tent and fall asleep. I wake up to the sunlight piercing through my tent. I clear my eyes and bizarrely I can see a streak of light hitting my eyes. I keep trying to adjust my vision but it won't move, so I think maybe something's fell down and is pressing on my tent, and I feel cold air. I then realize there's a large slash through my tent. It looks like somebody's took a knife and put a big slash through it. I quickly unzip the tent and go to my buddy's tent, and it's much the same. I look round and much of our supplies have knife marks through them, and all of our supplies have been knocked over. We couldn't see anyone around, but it's safe to say it scared the life out of us. We quickly gathered up most of our things that we could salvage and quickly got out of there. We never went camping back in that area again. One of the weird experiences that I had working as a park ranger was coming across something that I'd like to explain to you now. I had a call of some unusual activity that I had to investigate in the area that I was working in. It was just reports of strange voices every so often and sightings of fires and whatnot, and of course that's a big no-go, especially for when you're working in an area that has lots of forest fires, so I head out to investigate. As I get over the grassy knoll, what I see really terrified me. I can see a group of people making animal sacrifices with large knives and other assortments. It was really horrifying just seeing how much blood was there. I hate to say it, but I let out a short scream before stopping myself and sprinting back to the truck. I floored it back to the station, screaming over the radio what happened, and we sent a team out to investigate. When we get there, there's only the remains of the poor animals that unfortunately didn't make it, and lots of blood. The police eventually come out and dusted the site but couldn't find much evidence of who done it. I still don't know to this day, and that haunts me. Now this experience happened when my wife and I stayed in Banff National Park for the week back in September last year. We've always paid a visit in this beautiful landscape whenever we visit folks in Calgary, Alberta. Although, we didn't think we'd have a paranormal experience this time, however. We tried to do excursions that we wouldn't have done before and make everything a visit, and really a mixture of touristy things and non-touristy things. Near the end of the trip, we were scheduled to visit Cave and Basin, which was a several minute bus ride from Banff Town. We decided to go up on opening so that we can avoid the crowds and have lots of things to do throughout the day. Now, a bit of information for those of you who haven't been to Cave and Basin, or Banff, to that matter. Now, it's kind of like a museum where they show how Banff was rediscovered by Canadian railway workers back in 1883. Rediscovered because this national park was, and still is, a sacred land for Indigenous people. It's been like this for centuries until being rediscovered. We come into the entrance of the tunnel to the cave where these railway workers are said to have dug through and discovered a sulfur well. This sacred cave was used by Indigenous people as a place for healing. Going through the tunnel is dark, and its only light source is above the well itself where the sunlight peeks through. It was quiet and eerie walking through the dark tunnel. I can hear whispers even if we're the only ones going in. Then something told my wife and I not to look into the water. She said that after that she felt like something was drawing her to look down. We didn't stay there for too long, and it started to feel really claustrophobic, and the smell of sulfur is unbearable. My wife told me that she wanted to come out of it quick. I told her that I did not see anything and just wanted to look in the well myself. Little did I know at the time that this creepy experience wouldn't end here. Next, we continued the tour and made our way to the top of the building where a bridge connects to the museum, to the forest of Sulphur Mountain. As we crossed over, we see a small cabin that served as a lodging for the railway workers back then. We were right above the cave, and were just about half an hour or so in previously. The cabin was surrounded by a large forest, ascending up the mountain, and right when my wife was reading information about the cabin, I felt a dreadful feeling. A feeling that I'm familiar with when there's a sort of spirit or entity in the mist. It felt like there's a number of people watching over us, even if it's just the two of us. As I look from left to right, my eyes are drawn down to the tall trees at the far back, and there, I saw a dark entity so massive and tall that it stood as tall as the tree and was just beside it. Though I cannot see its face, I knew it was staring at us, as if God in the area. To be honest, it didn't really feel like a ghost, but instead a spirit or entity that never felt so old. Maybe as old as the forest itself. I felt that we weren't welcome here anymore. I then mentioned to my wife that we should really get going now, and it wasn't long after we left that my wife tells me what she saw, and she saw the same thing. Seeing an entity was really scary, especially knowing how sacred the place is for Indigenous people. Now, this didn't happen to me, but in the area that I live in. Now, my friends and I were discussing scary things that we've seen in the woods, and my friend told me a story that happened to his friend. So, this guy was with five of his friends and was spending a few days in a cabin hunting and trapping. They were not drunk and had a few beers to unwind for one night, and one of them goes to the outhouse to use a bathroom, and he swears off in the woods he hears a faint sound of a drum beating. So he finishes in the outhouse and goes into the cabin and tells his friends to come out and check out the sound. So they all decided that it's best to grab their rifles and walk out to the ridge where their cabin is on, and go down the hollow behind it back up the other side. It was a pretty rocky area, so the sound travelled well, and they could tell that just over the hill is where the sound is, so five of them spread out and walk about 50 feet apart and get to the top. They couldn't see down or over because of all the laurel bushes around them, so the five of them wait, and one of them sneaks down through to see what it is. When he got there, he stood and watched for about 30 seconds to a minute before he turned around and went back to his friends as quick as possible, telling them he saw evil and that they had to get the hell out of there. All he tells them is that he saw a bunch of men and women naked dancing around in a circle chanting in a foreign language. He never told them about everything he saw. I live with my husband and two teens in a cul-de-sac that borders woods. We all love spending time in our yard and enjoying the nature there. On two occasions now, my kids have told me about some eerie experiences that they've had. My kids recently got a trampoline and love to be on it, even at night. Recently though, they heard whistling and conversations from the woods around 10 p.m. Now, I can assure you that nobody goes down there, except in the hunting season. This really freaked them out and they came in and told me immediately. I should mention that we have a cat that escapes sometimes and we end up in the yard looking and calling for her name. Another time, my son was out around dusk looking for the cat near the border of the woods. He was alone and his sister is inside. He said he heard his sister calling his name from the woods and giggling. This was very unsettling to say the least, and I now want to install cameras on the yard. I'm really not sure what's going on here. I used to do wilderness forestry in Linville, George area of Northern Carolina. A jack-o'-lantern is a disembodied light that floats in the air. They are commonly reported in the southern Appalachians, but reports are usually discredited because it's easy to imagine that the person seeing them was seeing something more mundane. I've seen a few things that I suspect were jack-o'-lanterns, but there was one that was plain and clearly just a floating light out in the open on the east side of the Shortoff Mountain, where there are no trails in place that can easily be accessed by somebody without amazing mountaineering skills. Furthermore, it was floating above brush way too thick for anything to actually move through it. I should point out that this is a confirmed similar thing nearby, which is actually known as the Brown Mountain Lights, that has puzzled people for centuries. On hot summer nights, you can sit at Wiseman's View or a pull-off on a highway east of the George and see jack-o'-lanterns dancing along the mountains for yourself. It was early spring 2016. I'd recently turned 24. My friend and I just reached our main spot to camp, Black Canyon Rim Campground, just outside of Payson, Arizona. We usually travel out here 2 or 3 times each year. It had some incredible views and it was only a couple of hours away from the city. For the most part, the area is pretty secluded. A privately owned convenience store rested a few miles away with a small town 20 minutes before that. The entrance was on a dirt road directly off the highway with a campground at the start of the road, marking local wildlife, any fire hazards, and general news related to camping folk. The path is mostly linear and maybe has one or so forks spanning several miles. We once travelled down the dirt road to see how far back we could go. One of the paths would take you to another highway entrance with a ranger's tower halfway there. The other path led to a dead end. An abandoned cabin can also be found on this path. A few miles in, mostly hidden off in the distance behind some large foliage. Now, the snow had mostly cleared off at this point, leaving a crisp air, a slight chill, and fauna becoming active again. We usually spot some wild horses, several deers, and tons of little critters whenever we'd come out this way. It was really the perfect time of year for a relaxing trip to get away from the city for a few days. We got in around 4 p.m. on a Tuesday, which is late for us, as we'd usually try to make it out there by noon at last. Now, the trip was pretty spontaneous. We both had to work during the coming week and decided just to go for it. The sun was setting quick and we hadn't picked out a camping spot. There were maybe 2 other groups, both families, parked somewhat close to the entrance and only 100 yards from the highway. This time around, we just wanted to get away from people. You know, customer service jobs will do that to you. We drove down the dirt road past our usual spot and finally find somewhere. Perfect. A small clearing just hanging off the edge of a hill. The whole valley could be seen from this area with a sunset behind it. This was our main spot where we'd go on from. Now, that would be if the next night's incident didn't happen, which is, we agreed to get a campfire going and would just avoid building a tent this trip. We didn't have much time to do so anyway, and her car wasn't that uncomfortable. I'd sleep in the back seat, and she'd take the passenger seat, with the windows slightly ajar. We have a few blankets for each of us and would fall asleep. The next day was fairly uneventful, and I guess we're just kind of decompressing a lot more than anything. Now, I had this strange feeling throughout the day though, like we're being watched. There were leaves crunching just outside of sight every few hours, but I figured it was just the local wildlife doing their thing. My friend didn't really notice anything unusual though, so I don't dwell on it. Night come and the feeling hasn't gone away. My friend must have felt something she didn't vocalize, so she took some of her sleeping pills. She didn't usually need to take them on our camping trips. The nature's ambience was enough to put anyone asleep, or so I thought. It's nearing 1 a.m. My friend dozed off in the passenger seat while I attempt to wind down in the back. I leaned against the side window behind the passenger seat, legs outstretched to the car's back door. The window opposite of me was rolled slightly down, with a cold breeze flowing in. I had been on my phone scrolling through Facebook or whatever when I heard something outside. A couple of leaves fallen, and some scratchy sounds. I whispered to my friend, "Did you hear that?" But she's already asleep. I put my phone down and listened intently for a minute or two. Nothing. Must have been a small animal, curious of the camp. I went back to my phone scrolling through social media. About 10 minutes have now passed when I heard it again, crunch, right outside the door. I lowered the phone. My eyes took a minute to adjust from the light of the phone into the deep dark of the woods. As I turned the phone away from me, the backlight illuminated the window above my feet, and to this day I can't get the image out of my head. Two dirty, scabbed hands held onto the window, the fingers wrapped inside the car. The nails were long and unkempt and dark. Behind the window, a silhouette of a face was pressed up against it. The breath would create condensation every few seconds, and all I could make out were the reflections of those empty black eyes. I really couldn't move now. I couldn't scream. It felt like an eternity, the staring contest between me and this thing. Thoughts were repeating instantly in my head. Why haven't we run away? Why didn't I run when I first saw this? Are they planning my death? Is this a face of death? After probably 10 seconds of not doing anything, the hand slowly unclenched off the window and receded into darkness. The condensation on the window disappeared. Another couple of seconds passed before I heard the dreaded crunch on crunch and crunch melodically fading into the distance. I sat there, just still, thinking, what happened? Why didn't I do anything? Why am I still not doing anything? With that, my body shot into adrenaline. I pounded on my friend's seat, waking her up from the slumber into a dizzy confusion. I unlatched and kicked the door open. I took a moment to scan the area. Whoever they were, whatever it was gone. I scramble into the back and quickly grab any important supplies we have, and I quickly dart around, looking constantly for any signs of anything, listening for footsteps. I slam the back door shut, and there they were, a grim reminder of the horror that just happened. I can see two handprints imprinted on the window. I quickly wipe them off in panic, and a reaction to erase the event, I guess. I jumped into the front seat, started the car, and floored it out of there. My friend finally coming to, asking me, what am I doing? And I say, we have to go. Somebody's out there. I didn't see whoever or whatever was out there, and I was fleeing the scene, speeding down the dirt road. My friend insists I slow down, so eventually I do. We reach the highway and proceed to drive about 20 or so miles before reaching a Denny's where my friend says, can we stop and we eat. The nightmare subsided after a few months later. My embarrassment continues to this day for the state of shock that I was in. Everybody says that you have a fight or flight instinct, and I'm confused of which I actually had, because I just sat there and did nothing. I frequently tend to ask myself who was out there. Was it another camper messing with us? A resident, or somebody who lived near the abandoned cabin down the dirt road? Or maybe some residual haunting and something paranormal in the forest? I don't know. We'd still go camping there in years ahead, but never far from the highway. Whatever it is, I really hope I've seen the last of it. One of the weird experiences of my life was working as a park ranger. Now, it's a job that I really enjoy and actually still do to this day, but there's one experience that's really stuck with me that I'd like to share. I was at my station when I got a call out of an apparent old lady that seemed lost and confused out in the woods. Apparently, she'd been wandering around and actually had been sighted for a couple of days, dressed in basically dated clothing that appeared mostly dark. People weren't initially too concerned because she seemed to know where she was going, but apparently one particular hiker thought it was strange and they didn't explain why, so I happily obliged. I knew that if an elderly person was lost out here, and especially if dehydration set in, they were going to have a really hard time being safe on their own. And dehydration can kill you very quickly, or you could easily fall and hurt yourself and not be able to get help for it. So I head out. I have my radio and all my equipment, and I say goodbye to my friend and quickly grab my coffee on the way out of the door. I walk over to the truck and take the short drive for about a mile to get to the search area. I initially call out using the speaker, saying if there's anyone there, please let yourself be known. There's no replies, which is kind of to be expected at the start of a search, so I head off. Now, it wasn't too far from nightfall, so I was aware of this, and I made sure I knew exactly where the truck is because it can be pretty hard to see out in the forest. So I head off in one direction. I cover the first area and I don't really find much of anything, except for a really big spider that was actually dangerously close to me. I don't think this one was venomous, but it kind of caught my attention. Just as I notice the spider, I see some movement up ahead of me. I look up, and there's a dark figure kind of gliding through the trees. I realize this is it. I say bingo, and call out, "Hey, hey, I can help you, I'm the park ranger, come here." The old lady seems to completely avoid me and ignore me, heading off into a deeper part of the forest. I think maybe she's fell and hit her head and she's kind of losing it. Especially because from the description, I assume that she's probably just gone out here with her family and got lost, and maybe they've not reported it just yet trying to find her. So I quickly hurry after her. Using the adrenaline from the excitement of the moment, I manage to catch up to roughly where she should have been, and I realize that she's nowhere to be found, which I think is especially odd, because at her age, she shouldn't have been able to get away that quick. I think this is bizarre, and I start searching the area again. I turn on my flashlight so at least she can see me, and I call out and say, "Hey, help's here, and I've got water for you too." And I hold up my bottle and flash it about, making the watery splashy sound that they do. Again, I don't hear anything and think this is especially odd. I realize this is probably going to be a long night, and I quickly go to talk on my radio. Strangely, the battery was dead, but luckily I have a spare one. I radio in what's happening and they laugh and say, "Go get her, champ. We're going to send out some more rangers if you can't find her soon." I say roger that over and I head out. While being cautious of how far I've got from my truck, I decide that I should only go so far before returning to it and getting the extra help in. Because if I lose the truck, then I've got to find my way back, and I'm responsible for that. And I'm responsible for this person. I decide to jog up to the vantage point. I assume that naturally she's probably going to head up the hill, because why wouldn't you if you were lost? On top of a certain hill, you could see easily for miles basically, and I assume that this is where she's gone to. So I start my trek up there. I scanned my torch from the left and to the right, and the only thing that I met with was the shadows from the trees. It's starting to get quite dark now, but luckily there's just enough moonlight for me to be able to see what I'm doing. I make it to the top of the hill and call out again. I'm genuinely worried now because this lady's probably going to be out here on her own, and I doubt that she's going to survive the night. I radio in that I need the help, and they say that's fine, and they're going to send out some other people. They tell me to keep my search up and not to return to the truck because they're going to meet me later on and give me some coordinates. Roger that, and I head out again. I take a moment to scan the horizon, and I have a feeling that she's not too far away from me now. I have the feeling like an entity's quite close to me. You know, like when a person's near and you can just sense it? Call it your sixth sense or whatever, but I definitely have that. I turn around and, for a moment, I think it's another ranger because of the style of hat, but I realize it's a dark figure. It seems to be stuck there, and I'm not so sure whether this is an old lady now. I call out, "Hey, we've been looking for you," and it takes off running. Now, what's odd about the way it runs is it kind of glides off down the hill. Strangely, there's not much rustling to indicate the direction that this person's ran in. I quickly follow suit, now thinking maybe somebody's on drugs and they might be a danger to other hikers and campers out here. One big problem you actually have when you're a park ranger is a lot of people take drugs and they kind of lose their mind out in the forest, and especially when they get hungry and if their supplies are low, they might become quite aggressive trying to get other food and supplies off other campers that they run into. So I wasn't really looking forward to that being a possible outcome and decide to try and mitigate the risk as soon as possible, and I quickly head out after it. Now, I do not seem to be able to catch up with this person no matter how hard I try, and I'm pretty fit. This isn't only because of my training for this job, but I'm somebody who always liked to do marathons and whatnot. So they definitely shouldn't be able to get away from me, unless they're someone who does ultras or something, but nobody should be able to move this fast in this environment and terrain. During the pursuit, I can just about make out where they've headed to, and they seem to pause for a moment. They just make it to the top of another small hill. I look down at the ground because I have to be very careful not to fall down here and power up the hill. I get there within 4 or 5 seconds, which is very quick, and they're gone, nowhere to be found. I pause for a moment to catch my breath, and I can hear giggling coming from behind where I was before. Now, this is pretty scary, even by my standards. It sounds almost like a child giggling. I hesitantly turn and shine my torch in that general direction, and there's nothing. I now realize that I kind of don't want to be seen, and I turn off the light. I realize now I'm gonna have to really let my night vision set in to be able to find this person. I now realize it's not an old lady that we can't track, but it's somebody clearly on drugs or maybe a group of people. I think this is quite odd, and I can hear the laughing moving in almost a U-shape onto the other side of the hill. And then it stops, and this time I can actually hear the trees rustling, and I decide to chase after it once again. Not entirely sure what I'm chasing now, I don't call out so much, thinking maybe they're on drugs and me calling out isn't such a good thing, maybe they're trying not to be found. I radio in what's happening, and they say the other rangers aren't going to be too far from me now, and to keep on. Now, I come up to a clearing, and I seemingly can't find anything. Now, I know not too far away is an old ranger station that we used to use. We can't use it now because literally all of the stairs have collapsed, and we're going to decommission it entirely and take it down soon, but that was another job for a later date. For now, I know that's the only place that this thing could have gone to, so I start heading in that direction. I think, God, what if they've used this as some kind of drugs den or something, or maybe they've got an operation up there that they don't want us to know about. It seems logical as the place that they should go to, especially because they seem to have quite a good idea of the forest and its layout. somewhat rivaling my own. They move through tactically like they're the military, but this isn't the military. So I continue on. I decide to adopt a walking pace now and not use my flashlight because I have my night eyes and where I'm standing is actually pretty well illuminated by the moonlight, and I take some steps forward and just continue on. I radio in that I think they've gone to our old tower and they say roger that, we're gonna keep our search on foot, you head over there. I say roger that over and head off to the tower. I continue pressing forward, now picking up the pace a bit, and I can just see the top of the tower coming over the horizon. It looks really cool actually, kind of like something in a film. It just suddenly appears up ahead of me and I can't wait to get up to that. I haven't seen this thing for a couple of years and I think it's quite awesome to look at, but more importantly, I think I'm about to apprehend these and call in the boys and get this sorted, so I head up towards the tower. Now when I get towards the base of the tower, there's a strange kind of mist on the floor that I've not actually seen before, which I think is really odd. I presume that this is probably from some kind of chemicals that they're using for the drugs operation, so I turn my torch on and start searching around, only turning it on for a few seconds periodically as to not give away my specific position. I do this a few times and everything seems as it should be. I then hear the giggling once again. Now I take a few steps back very quietly and carefully, trying to figure out where the sound is coming from. And I can't believe what I'm hearing. It's coming from above me, the tower. But that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. There's no stairs leading up to it. They collapsed years ago. And we have anti-climb paint and some wires around the pole, so they've definitely not climbed. I realise now that I should probably start heading back a little bit just for my own protection. I go to radio in, but my hand kind of freezes up and I realise suddenly I shouldn't talk too much. I should maybe just observe. I make my way back and I look up towards the tower. I stupidly shine my torch up there, and the moment I do, I'm met back with some eyes staring at me. These aren't normal eyes, these are blacky red eyes glowing, staring straight back at me. The face is completely pale, and I can just about make out a blood-filled mouth smiling back at me. This figure doesn't look human at all, it looks half human and half like a creature. I only saw this for a few seconds because I dropped my torch and fight or flight kicked in and I definitely chose flight. The next thing I knew, I was sprinting back over the hill, almost tripping over myself. I managed to quickly grab on the radio and report that somebody's up in the old tower and I don't know how they've got up there. They say that's impossible. There's no stairs, there's nobody up there. I say I know, but I just saw someone up there, and they say they're going to investigate. They give me some coordinates to meet up in, and leaving me with a couple more minutes to walk and a few moments to myself waiting to be picked up. I sit down, and every so often, I hear movement around the trees, very close to me. I start to feel a little bit faint and quickly pick up a large stick near me, and I see lights coming towards me. Then it hits me, this is the Rangers, and I quickly drop the stick, not wanting to look stupid when they pick me up. I explain what happened, and the other two Rangers look pretty concerned and scared too. We start driving forward and round the bend towards the tower. We get very close to it, and my friend puts on the high beams, and we all get out. We call out on the speaker, "Whoever's in there, you need to get out now. The cops are on their way." This was actually a lie, we didn't have anything to report into the police yet, but my god, we could if we needed to, and we were sure we were about to. We shine our torches around and we can't find anything. None of us actually get too close to the tower because it's pretty dangerous and we decide just to observe it from a distance. Now this means that my friends that are on the night shift are actually going to have to stay here for the whole night and observe to see if anything comes out of it or not. We couldn't call in the police because we didn't have a positive ID, and my shift was due to be off in a couple of hours. I actually opted to stay instead though with my friends just because I didn't feel safe out there on my own, and I didn't want to leave my two friends out there to deal with this. My friend nicely offers me some coffee and we explain how weird this is, and I explain the giggling, and when I do, my friend's face goes white. He says he's heard the exact same thing out there before, but he thought maybe it was just his mind really playing tricks on him. Now the rest of the night went relatively peaceful, and eventually it's dawn and the sun comes up. We stay here for a little longer and decide finally that it's clear, and we decide that we're gonna head off soon. My friend then puts the truck into reverse, and the moment we're turned around, we hear a very loud crashing sound. We all quickly glance back, knowing exactly what it is. The tower's floor has collapsed. Thinking somebody's fell and is seriously in trouble and hurt, we quickly put the car into drive and spin it round. We get there in absolute lightning speed and quickly come to the scene. Now, what I find next is truly bone-chilling. There's nothing there. There's no people, no bodies, no remains, nothing, no blood, literally just some flooring that's fell in. That means there couldn't have possibly been anybody in there, but I saw somebody in there, and I know that. I start explaining to my friends that that can't be possible. My other rangers there with me, but they say there's no need to worry about it. They both seem as scared and freaked out as I was, and they both believe me 100%. We decide to call it in and say that we've cleared the area and we can't find anything, and start driving back. All of us are in complete silence on the drive back to the ranger station, and we all have to go and make a report about what happened. I decide not to describe and say exactly what I saw in that tower because I know nobody in the station would have believed me who wasn't there, and I didn't want to lose my job. And to this day it still haunts me. Even writing out my story to you now, my hands are beginning to sweat a little bit. It's the most scary face I've ever seen, and I still have nightmares about it. It definitely wasn't a person. It was some kind of entity, but it was the most menacing, demonic-looking thing that I've ever seen in my life. And I hate that. I hate the fact that I can never erase this from my memory. I never experienced anything like it for the rest of my shift while working in that area, and at any of the other places I've also been a ranger. I just can't put the pieces of the puzzle together. It still doesn't make sense to me to this day. Now I'm from Rhode Island, and my friend and I have always been interested in paranormal hotspots around the state. In a town called Cumberland, there is a haunted road called Tower Hill Road. There's a lot of paranormal stories and history to the area. According to the people who live around, they see a ghost of a child walking a dog. There were also stories about Native Americans who were killed during the French Indian War, so one day, we decided to drive over there and look around. There have been a few places that I've been out to where I could literally feel the heaviness. I felt very anxious for some reason, and there were times where I felt I could see shadows in the distance. When we passed this specific tree, my friend started screaming and said she saw something. I start laughing, but my whole body really feels heavy now, like I'm stuck in lead or something. And I have my fight or flight instincts kicking in. For the rest of the drive, I have this weird feeling like we're being watched. It's something I've never felt before so powerfully. The road is about a mile long, but it feels like it's much further. If anyone here is from Rhode Island or New England, let me know if you've had any paranormal experiences here, because I think there's something wrong about this road. Alright, this all happened about a year ago or two when I was asked to watch a neighbor's dog for a while before they went on vacation. For context, I live in a super heavily forested rural community, Neighbors ask that I can stay at their home while watching their dog, and I happily oblige. Now I'm taking Sai on his usual route among some local hiking trails that connect to the neighborhood that are often tracked during the summer, but this was late fall, so they were deserted in anticipation of snow. Of course, it's sunset and I'm trying to get Sai to come pee so we can go back inside. I let him off the leash and I let him do his thing, but he has other plans. Sai takes off into the woods and I wait for him to come back for about 5 minutes before following him. I'm calling his name and following his trail when I come up behind him, and about 100 yards off the trail, he's chewing on a stick and my patience for the night is gone, so I walk over to the clip and get his lead attached and take him home. Turns out though, it wasn't a stick, it was a bone. A large bone that was likely the leg of some animal. I freeze because I know there's been bears here, and there's also been coyotes. I take a closer look and I see a paw still attached to the bone and lose it. I grab Sai and book it back into the house. The next morning I go out with Sai again, still freaked out but determined to figure out whose dog had been snatched by apparently something. Now, I think it was a deer leg, and half the body was right around the corner, and it clearly didn't really die of natural causes. So I have no idea what actually could maul it like this, and it's pretty creepy to me.